Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: The Gospel of the Righteousness of God. Chapter 6. Highlighting God's sovereignty and righteousness also in his position of righteous judge. Keeping still in mind the aspects considered in the last two chapters, that is, the fact that what a person thinks or understands about God's righteousness may also affect one's trust or faith in the Lord, and that the terms righteousness and judgment may present distinct aspects, we would like to approach a little more the specific subject of the Lord's condition as the righteous judge, because this aspect may also be very relevant to a person's faith in God. Although many people even consider or accept the idea that God, in his righteousness, also practices acts of righteousness, many of them do not have the same conviction when the subject refers to the judgments or the conditions of judgments that the Lord adopts or announces that he will adopt regarding each of the human beings. Although some people even agree with the teaching of the Scriptures that God does all his works in righteousness, many of them do not have the same confidence that God knows or will know how to judge all righteously, or even that the Lord indeed knows or is aware of all the circumstances and injustices that are practiced in the world. Therefore, just as the doubt regarding if the Lord indeed acts in full righteousness in the actions that he practices can aggressively oppose the faith in God of an individual, so also the doubt about the condition of the Lord as the righteous judge may oppose the confidence that a person is called to place in God. God's position as the judge of the whole universe is one of the matters that most intrigues and challenges the human mind, for perhaps concerning it, the human being comes across one of the circumstances where there is one of the most significant evidence of the limitation of the creature, how much it has no control over the eternal circumstances, how much the creation depends on the Creator, and how much every individual is and will be exposed to the light of the Lord. Questions about the exact beginning of life, the various circumstances and purposes for which an individual was born and where he or she was born, what awaits each person after one's life on earth, what is the basis of judgment after natural death, and several others, are issues that expose the enormous fragility of the human being in its mere temporal or natural condition. Although the quantity and grandeur of deeds that God has allowed human beings to accomplish in their several centuries, the fact that the present world and the natural life are temporal or transient shows us how small and how limited the human being is in the face of the most crucial points of life, such as righteousness and judgment for eternal life. Thus, it is also regarding the righteousness of the Lord in his position as the righteous judge that the difference between humans and God is widely evidenced. And when people seek to know these vital and precious matters primarily or just by their own points of view, they end up expressing the profound ignorance that may exist in them about what matters most to their lives, as it is exposed, for example, in the text below. Job 35:1-16. Moreover, Elihu answered and said, "Do you think this is right? Do you say, 'My righteousness is more than God's'? For you say, 'What advantage will it be to you? What profit shall I have, more than if I had sinned?' I will answer you, and your companions with you. Look to the heavens and see, and behold the clouds, they are higher than you. If you sin, what do you accomplish against him? Or, if your transgressions are multiplied, what do you do to him? If you are righteous, what do you give him? Or what does he receive from your hand? Your wickedness affects a man such as you, and your righteousness a son of man. Because of the multitude of oppressed ions they cry out for help because of the arm of the mighty. But no one says, 'Where is God my Maker, who gives songs in the night? Who teaches us more than the beasts of the earth, and makes us wiser than the birds of heaven?' There they cry out, but he does not answer, because of the pride of evil men. Surely God will not listen to empty talk, nor will the Almighty regard it. Although you say you do not see him, yet justice is before him, and you must wait for him. And now, because he has not punished in his anger, nor taken much notice of folly, therefore Job opens his mouth in vain, he multiplies words without knowledge. In the face of the evil they see in the world, many people become displeased or even indignant with the Lord's attitudes and cry out to God with empty voices or devoid of proper purposes. However, God's position as the righteous judge can never be shaken or altered by human actions, whether good or bad, just as these kinds of cries never can really benefit those who want God to look at their situation at any cost or regardless of his righteousness. The life of human beings in the world is permeated with injustice, but the present world is not the final stage of the whole process. And this is one of the factors that bothers people so much, for it underscores the position that they cannot have control over God, over the creation, and especially over many crucial aspects of their own lives. As the righteous judge, the Lord does indeed need to assign a designation to every act of unrighteousness so that, as the ruler of the universe, he does not become a conniving judge or complacent with any injustice. However, the time that the Lord sets for judgment so that he stays in his position of righteousness toward all and just at the end of every individual's life on earth is often so frustrating in the eyes of people. Even though many think that God does not see all or all things, nothing is left out of the Lord's observation, who, in due time, will also know how to deal with or judge righteously all that will be put before his judgment. Nothing that has happened and happens in the entire universe can be withheld from being seen and judged by God, for this is the role of God as the judge of every creature and which he certainly will not fail to exercise in due time. Psalm 7, 11. God is a just judge, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Psalms 9, 7-8. But the Lord shall endure forever, he has prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness, and he shall administer judgment for the peoples in uprightness. Hebrews 4, 13. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. A judgment with full righteousness can only be established from a global view of all the acts practiced in the universe and at all times of the world. And it is only the Lord God, the Creator, who holds this position of omniscience, for he alone is God over everything and across all times. Although in many human courts it is possible that many facts are distorted or obscured by partial visions of truth, by limited accounts of the events, and even by lies or false claims of justice, resulting inclusive in many unjust human trials because of their limited conditions, this does not occur before the righteousness and the eternal throne of God. Nothing before God can be concealed or hidden, even if the Lord waits for the proper time to manifest his judgment. In the presence of God, the facts are uncovered or patent. And the deepest roots that led to the acts to be practiced cannot be hidden, which is also why no person has achieved by oneself a satisfactory condition of righteousness before God. There is no way for a person to commit an act of unrighteousness without this act being exposed before the righteousness and the judgment of God. Every act of injustice is evident before God even though the one who practiced the action is not aware of his or her unrighteousness or also if the one who practiced it tries to deny it by simulations or dissimulations. Although many injustices and many sins go unnoticed before human beings and even before those who are elected to judge their fellows in the human courts, no sin goes unnoticed by God and, as has been mentioned before, no act of unrighteousness can be erased before God by human beings themselves. Also in his position as judge over everything and all people, God never pleases with unrighteousness or sin, and is never complicit in the iniquity of any human being, regardless of who committed it. In his position of judge, God does not use partiality in the face of committed injustices. Acts 10, 34-35. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, In truth I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Romans 2, 11. For there is no partiality with God. 1 Peter 1, 17. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. The knowledge of God's position as the righteous judge, who judges everything according to the just righteousness, is one of the most central points of knowledge on the whole subject of righteousness, judgment, and life itself, for it is from the faith or the trust in God, also as the righteous judge, that so many other areas of the heavenly righteousness are conferred upon human beings. Seeking to understand God's righteousness to know how it works in all that the Lord does, including in all his judgments, instead of wanting to find out whether God is or is not righteous, may change much the perspective on learning righteousness itself. When a person comes to believe that God is always righteous in everything he does, as well as in what he judges, one also advances toward a position where the knowledge of the righteousness that grounds God in everything he does becomes more understandable and accessible for him or her. God does not heed to the cry of those who cast empty talks in the air about the righteousness and the judgments of the Lord, but he attends those who seek the righteousness of God because they hunger and thirst for the true righteousness that proceeds from the eternally righteous Lord. To receive the righteousness of God widely, it is necessary first to receive the kingdom of God, for the kingdom of God is righteousness. But the heavenly kingdom is given to the humble in spirit, to those who are humble to recognize their limitations and who, at the same time, also recognize the right position of the judgments that God performs regarding them and the other human beings. Matthew 5, 3-6. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to those who live by faith in God and to those who do not get tired of trusting in the Lord's instructions, guidance, or judgments. Romans 1, 17. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 11, 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In the Psalms presented in the Scriptures, it can be noted, on several occasions, that the psalmists experienced great afflictions in the face of the injustices and evils that became manifested in the context of their lives. However, these afflictions could not overthrow their faith in God by the fact that they remained firm in acknowledging the Lord as the righteous, just, and eternal King who judges or performs all judgment in full righteousness. Even though in the face of the injustice in the world, the psalmists, in maintaining their trust in the Lord, went from faith to see more and more the sublimity and greatness of the heavenly righteousness. Thus, recognizing the righteousness of God in all his judgments can also be vital or crucial for an individual to remain in connection and fellowship with the unique source of perfect righteousness and eternal life. For this reason, a person should never accept in his or her heart the temptation to doubt God's righteous position as the eternal judge, as shown by the very important psalm presented below. Psalm 73, 1-28. A Psalm of Asaph. Truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the boastful, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride serves as their necklace, violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance, they have more than heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression, they speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore his people return here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them. And they say, How does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who are always at ease, they increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued, and chastened every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Surely you set them in slippery places, you cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation, as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so, Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant, I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless I am continually with you, you hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For indeed, those who are far from you shall perish, you have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. But it is good for me to draw near to God, I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works. The human being is not allowed to die several times to know more closely the details of one's future situation and then to return to the natural condition on earth again, so that one may know what awaits him or her after the time in the present world nor to teach others about what is to come in eternity. After due time in the current world, the human being inevitably has an encounter with a judgment for eternity, and nothing can change it or cause one to return to life in the present world several times, as the following text teaches us. Hebrews 9, 27. It is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment. According to the account of the Lord Jesus Christ in chapter 16 of the book of Luke, neither Lazarus nor the rich, after their death and after knowing the judgment about their lives, were able to return to warn the rich man's brothers about the critical position he attained after death and for having despised God and his righteousness, an aspect that remains unchanged even to the present day. However influential an individual may have been in the current world, no matter how intrepid or brave a person may have been in prayers or words, or by more natural resources one has attained, no one can return to the present world after having received the ultimate judgment upon his or her soul. Nevertheless, the encounter of a person with the eternal judgment does not necessarily have to be an encounter of fear or dread, for if, on the one hand, eternal judgment occurs under conditions in which no human being has the criteria to be approved, on the other hand, God offers to help all to be supported by the Lord Himself in order to be exposed to a judgment according to the redemptive gift of the heavenly righteousness. John 3, 18-21. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. 1 John 2, 1-2. My little children, these things I write to you, so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only but also for the whole world. Romans 8, 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Psalms 98:5-9. Sing to the Lord with the harp and the sound of a psalm. With trumpets and the sound of a horn, shout joyfully before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar, and all its fullness, the world, and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands, let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. For he is coming to judge the earth. With righteousness he shall judge the world, and the peoples with equity. 2 Timothy 4:8. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only but also to all who have loved his appearing. If a person deprives oneself of knowing the righteousness of God, one can also put oneself in a position of lack of proper knowledge of God as to the mercy and grace that the Lord offers to all. One can put oneself in subjection to the fear of eternal condemnation due to the fact of depriving oneself of knowing the path of justification that the Lord offers in Christ, as presented in the following text. Romans 8:32-34. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. On the other hand, if a person deprives oneself of knowing some central aspects of God's judgment and the firm position of the Lord as the just judge, one may incur the misleading and inappropriate thinking that God will not judge indeed those who have not received justification before the Lord by faith in the righteousness that is in Christ, disregarding so the following words. Galatians 6:7-8. Do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Romans 8:13. For if you live according to the flesh you will die, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. James 5:1-11. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. Indeed the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury, you have fattened your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the just, he does not resist you. Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets, who spoke in the name of the Lord, as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Hebrews 10:30. For we know him who said, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. Romans 6:11-16. Likewise you also, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness? Therefore, believing in God's sovereignty over the whole universe and believing that this sovereignty is exercised in full righteousness by the Lord also in his position as eternal judge are aspects that should always be seen together by those who want to enjoy the righteousness of God and walk according to the will of the eternal Lord. Psalms 48, 10. According to your name, O God, so is your praise to the ends of the earth, your right hand is full of righteousness. Isaiah 33, 22. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us. Deuteronomy 32, 4. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. Psalms 99, 1-4. The Lord reigns, let the peoples tremble. He dwells between the cherubim, let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name, he is holy. The king's strength also loves justice, you have established equity, you have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob.